The title of my sermon I have chosen is The Wake-Up Call. I know that I'm addressing to the believers. And we all know the Lord, we have been following Him. But then it is good to bring some reminder to ourselves. And that's the reason, even though the sound, it may not sound very good, this title, but still I chose to have it, Wake Up Call. And I'm sure you will be awake, wide awake as I speak, so that all that the Lord, the Holy Spirit has for us, that we will be able to receive it. The COVID situation that we've faced and we've been facing has been a unique experience in our lives. Never before we have experienced this. And when it started, I mentioned this earlier, that I thought it will be just for a month or two and everything will be normal. But then it did not happen. And when it was new, the situation was new, many people said that this might be a wake-up call from God to the entire world. But then what happened? Months, days and months went by. Now it is more than a year, okay? And now we call it a new normal, right? A new normal. This is what it is. And so just get adjusted and carry on with your life. The book of Joel, the verses that were read for us, their life depended mainly on the agriculture. And whenever there was crop in the field, they had everything. And when they had no crop, there was no food and there was problem. Their economy mainly depended upon the agriculture. And this book tells us that their crops were eaten up by the locusts. Verse 4 onward, it talks about the various types of locusts that came and they ate up their crop. And because of that, their economy went down. When I talk about economy, what is happening in the world today? Right? Even look at the sign on the gas station. Gas prices are going up. Everything is expensive. There are so many people who are struggling because of this economy. Shareholders are sort of worried because the share market is constantly fluctuating. When the share market is good, those who have invested, they are happy. But when the share market is not doing so good, they are not so very happy because of this constantly changing economy. And so what was needed then in Joel's time and what is needed now in our time is to have God's perspective upon what is happening now. Looking at the whole situation from God's eyes as to how He looks at it, how He sees it. And so that's the reason we are turning to the Word of God. The message of this book was easy for people to understand because they all were facing the situation. They all had similar circumstances they all were facing. And Joel is helping them to understand. What he was trying to tell them is that the judgment is coming. The judgment of the Lord is coming for those who do not know the Lord. But then people of God are looking forward to His coming. Isn't that the same today? The judgment of God will be coming on those who do not know the Lord. But those of us who know the Lord, we are looking forward to His coming. What a glorious day it will be when Jesus comes back to receive His people to Himself. So the book of Joel is an encouragement to believers and a warning to non-believers. Who was Joel? You know, Bible doesn't talk much about him. only his father's name is mentioned, Bethuel. He was son of Bethuel, not Bethuel, but Bethuel. Only that is the introduction given about him, nothing more than that. The name meaning Joel is Yahweh is God. Isaiah's meaning also is the same, Yahweh is God. So in midst of all this troubled situation, this name itself was an encouragement for people that no matter what is happening all around you, Yahweh is God. Isn't that a great thought for us? That no matter what is happening in the world around us, Yahweh is God. And the great thing about our God is his unchanging God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Never ever he changes. And so in midst of all this disturbing situation, Joel comes on the scene. The meaning of his name reminds that God is, Jehovah is God, and he is in control. There are 73 verses in this book. And half of the book talks about devastation and destruction. And the second half talks about renewal and restoration. So that's the reason when we read the first few verses in this word, nothing sounds good. Everything is bad, destruction, crops destroyed, and everything is going wrong. But you know, this is a prophetic book also. This book helps us to prepare. And especially those who are not prepared, it is much more important, because this will help the unprepared to be prepared for the Lord's coming. When was this book written? Now, Old Testament books are not in chronological order. They are not like first book, Genesis, Exodus, not in that order. And for that reason, I can say that Joel lived in early Israel history, and he was most probably a student of Elisha. So you can sort of try to figure out that timeline. And he is the earliest recorded prophet. The key theme in this book is the day of the Lord. So we will look at this prophet a little bit closely. First verse tells us about his call. Joel was son of Bethuel. But why he is writing? Because God spoke to him. Word of God is inspired word. So he is not writing on his own. God spoke to him. God impressed these words upon his heart. And that's the reason he is writing. Now, if I understand correctly, there were 12 men in the Old Testament named Joel. 12 people. And still it is interesting that even though there were 12 people with the same name, Book of Joel doesn't give much detailed information. It would have been appropriate that, okay, since there are altogether 12 men, this was the Joel so and so. But nothing. So we know nothing much about this man of God. But we know that the word of God came to him. Again, how he received, where he received the word of God. For other people, their revelation has been detailed in the Bible. But about him, no details. He only received the word of God, and the word of God is given to him. Now chapter 1, verses 2 to 12, this section we can name as Call to the Nations. There was a huge invasion of locusts. And then in this situation, the Spirit of God enabled the man of God to understand the seriousness of his situation. And God wanted him to make this known to the people. And so in this first chapter, we see he addresses to the elders. He addresses to the drunkards. He addresses to the farmers. And he addresses to the priests. four groups of people he is addressing this. And that was quite interesting for me to observe. That situation is bad, and so he precisely chooses a different set of people to communicate what the word of God is for them. And verse 5, it tells us, "Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drunkards." Verse 2, it talks about, it says, "Hear this, you elders." So he is addressing one by one and telling them that what they need to do. So the first group is the elders. They were respected people. They were in position of responsibility. They were most probably older people who had experienced life, and they had a lot of life experiences with them. And so first he focuses his attention and upon them, and then he explains to them the situation. Why? Because even though they were elders, they were doing nothing in this situation. Even though they were elders, and there was such a destruction everywhere, but we don't see these elders acting in any manner, but facing the situation like everyone else. And so he addresses, the man of God addresses precisely to the elders. Second section, we observe the sorrow of devastation, verses 5 to 12. And in that he addresses the second group, that is drunkards. I was surprised, like out of all the groups of people, why he should think about drunkards. And maybe I was thinking that these drunkards were the people that they didn't want to do anything with what was happening. Just get drunk and lie down without worrying about anything. That was like, coming from India, I know some people, their morning begins, instead of cup of tea or coffee, it begins with that kind of hard drink. And whole day they are in that air, walking around, thinking that they're walking steadily, but they are not. And so he's addressing to the drunkards, that means those who are trying to run away from reality and not willing to face the situation. And he explains to them the seriousness of this situation, because they were in their own world and not worried. But he wanted them to repent. He wanted them to wake up. He wanted them to come out from that drunkenness, wake up and think what is happening around them and respond to what God was doing in the world at that time. Third group, verses 11, 12, is farmers. He's addressing to the farmers. Their harvest was destroyed. Wine had dried up. The fruit-bearing trees were dried up. What were farmers doing? Bible doesn't say what they were doing. So the situation was there. There was no food, there was no fruit, there was no crop. Bible doesn't say what they were doing. They were still just living in that situation. And so the prophet had to call them and ask them to get up, to do something about it. In our world today, there are always earthquakes. Somewhere or the other, always there are droughts, floods, pandemic, financial crisis, relational issues, health issues, death. Many people died and dying with this COVID. What is God saying to the people of God in such situation? What is God speaking to our heart, your heart and mine, when there is so much of destruction all around us? There's so much of unrest all around us. What is the Spirit of God speaking to your heart? Then the third we see is the call to ministers. Chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. This is the fourth group that he is addressing to. And what is he calling the religious people, the minister? What is he calling them for? For repentance. And that again surprises me. He is not saying this to ordinary people. He is addressing to the priests and he is calling them to repentance. And that indicates to me that no matter who we are, no matter how much learned we are, no matter how much we know the word of the Lord, but we need to repent. And so he addresses the ministers, verses 13 through 18, and calls them for repentance. Why he's calling them? He's not calling them because there is no food and they should do something about it. Farmers, yes, it is expected that they should do something about the situation. But for priests, it was not expected that they should go out and plant something and try to help out, do some relief work. It was not expected from the priest. But verse 13, end part of that, it tells us come, spend night in sackcloth, he says to the minister, you who minister before my God, for the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Why he is calling the priest? Their job, their responsibility, their spiritual responsibility was to bring the offerings, and the offerings have been withheld. And we can say in today's language, the churches were locked down. They were not doing the things that they were supposed to be doing. Grain offerings and drink offerings were withheld by the priest. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 tells us that we are the royal priesthood. And the question to you and me is, are we falling short in performing our responsibility towards our God? Those were the priests. Situation was bad. It was expected them to continue to worship the Lord in a manner that was appropriate. But even the priest had forsaken their responsibility. We are the royal priesthood. If we are failing, if we are falling short in fulfilling our responsibility, the Spirit of God can show that to us. If there is a need of repentance, then no matter who we are, we need to come before the Lord with all sincerity. And the priest, we are supposed to take that responsibility of coming before the Lord and doing what they were expected to do. The fourth thing is in verse 19 and 20, there is a call of prayer. Now, since all these people were there, but they were not doing what they were called to do, then this man of God, Prophet Joel, he takes the initiative. And he himself led the people in prayer. He did not say that, okay, there are ordained people to do the ministry of the word or ministry of God. Why should I do that? He just senses the need and he steps in and he calls people for prayer. He himself led people in prayer. Too many people were suffering all around him. He was not an exception. Even he was experiencing the same struggle and difficulties as others were facing. But he did not stay behind. He took lead, he took initiative, and he led the people of God in prayer. Verse 19, we read, "To you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the open pastures, and flames have burned up all trees of the field." He prays and he tells God, "God, this is what we are facing. The situation is bad. God, have mercy." And he prays for this situation, taking the burden of all this situation on his heart, and he leads in prayer. He talks to God. He opens up his heart. Not that God did not know what was happening, but as children of God, we are expected to pour out our heart before him and tell what we are going through. Because source of all our the provision for all our need can be found only in God. The solution can always be found in God alone. We come with good smile on Sunday morning, we greet one another. But you know, at times we are going through some struggles, some challenges, some difficulties. You know, no matter what we are going through, there is solution, there is provision, there is answer in the Lord. And so if you're going through some kind of situation, maybe you don't want to share with others, take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we sing. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And he will, as he used one man, Joel, he will use you, not only to fix things in your life, but he will use you as a source of his blessing. I read sometime back an illustration that when people ignore God, how sin destroys. And I've never been to Eskimo region, but I read about it, how the Eskimos catch wolf. And what they do is that they take a knife, which is sharp on both the sides, dip it in the blood, coat it with ice or snow, press it on it, again dip it in the blood, again coat it with snow. And they do it several times. So there is the two-edged knife is inside, but there is a huge coating of blood, snow, blood, snow. And it is like an attractive candy for the wolves. And what those people do is they go somewhere in the snow, dig up a little bit, and hide this knife inside. What the wolf does, comes out sniffing, smells blood, and then goes, start digging the snow. Finds that block of snow where the smell of blood is coming. Starts licking. One layer after the other. He enjoys the blood. One layer after the another, keeps on licking. What happens in that? His tongue becomes numb, doesn't feel anymore. So he keeps going deep and deep and deep and ultimately starts cutting his own tongue and starts licking his own blood and ultimately dies. Then the Eskimos would come and pick up their catch. But there was that great attraction, deceptive attraction for the wolf, which that creature did not understand, fell prey to it, and ultimately lost its life. Joel's days, people are going deeper and deeper in the neglect of God. All these categories we have seen, different categories of people, they were neglecting their responsibilities and going deeper and deeper in their own ways. And so this man of God comes. God sent him as a messenger to call them out and say, "Wake up!" I'm glad nobody's sleeping. So even I shout, you're okay. He is calling them to wake up his people. That means he is appealing them to turn back to the Lord. This was a simple message of Joel for his people. And that is the call for all of us. Is there any area of our lives that we are sort of slack? Is there any area of our life that we are failing to do what we know that God expects of us to do? God says, wake up. Wake up. We are living in last days. And God looks at every believer as responsible people. We are his representatives in this world. And if we are in some of the areas of our life have fallen asleep, our Savior is not happy about it. Lastly, wake up and do the things that God has called us to do. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you because the Word of God is always appropriate and so appealing to all of us. And Father, I want to thank you because you have called us out of darkness. You have called us, Lord, to be your people. And Lord, you have given us a responsibility. Thank you for the salvation that you've given us. And Lord, we are the representative of your love, your grace in this world. But quite often, because of the situation, we get so bogged down that we fail to do what we are called to do. And I pray that whatever that might be the area in each one of our lives, that you would forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to receive this word of God as a wake-up call personally for us. Because, Lord, we are precious in your sight. And you want us to be useful for your glory. And so I pray that the Spirit of God will continue to speak to our hearts. And I pray that you would strengthen us. You would encourage us, Lord, so that we will be used for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. This I humbly pray in the name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.